listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Yesterday was game number one of Pastor Shane and I coaching upward basketball again this season. And guess what happened this year?
We lost.
We lost, that's right. We did score 9 points. The other team scored 18. They doubled us up. It was so funny, though. We were talking. It was basketball. It was basketball, not baseball or football. It was basketball, and it's funny. We had an injury yesterday. I was watching the game. I'm coaching the game, and I had a pencil. Normally, I have a pen. I have a pencil, and I'd sharpened the pencil right before I went to the game. And I've got my coaching book in my hand with how the kids go in and out and all that kind of stuff. And I've got my coaching book, my pencil, and my son Gabriel. I think we didn't keep stats, but I think he had like 37 steals yesterday. I mean, the kid stole everything. Every time they came down the court, he ended up with the ball somehow and would go down the other end all by himself, lay it up, and brick every single layup. I could not believe how many bricks that kid threw up. And so one time he hit another brick, and whenever he threw that ball up and missed from point blank range, nobody around him, I went to slap my hand with the book, say, "Come on, Gabriel," like that. And I forgot I had my pencil in my hand, and I stabbed myself and cut my finger, and I looked down and I'm bleeding on my stuff. It's like any good coach, I just wiped it on that shirt and kept going. You know, we just kept coaching them along. So we really did have a good time yesterday. We had one kid, just a testament to what I'm going to say today. If you just keep going, something good might eventually happen. We had one kid on our team that has really struggled every practice. I mean, this is the kid that I told one time we're doing a drill, and the drill was, I want you to dribble, one dribble, stop, and shoot, right? I mean, it's pretty simple. You just one dribble, shoot. And so this kid got the ball, and I said, "All right, buddy, one dribble and shoot." He grabbed the ball and went, and then shot. I said, no. One dribble and then shoot. So he grabs the ball, he runs one time, runs some more, and then shoots. Now some of you are looking at me like, "So what? That's normal, right?" No, it's not normal. That's absolutely against the rules. You can't do that. And so the kid just never got it, and Shane and I just thought, this is going to be a travesty. I mean, it ended up being a travesty, but we just thought, with this kid, it's going to be bad. I'm going to tell you something. Something happened to that kid in the middle of that game, and he, like, at one point got a rebound, went all the way down the court by himself, dribbling the basketball perfectly, came all the way down and shot and made it. And we were just, like, I fainted and they had to resuscitate me. It was amazing, amazing how it goes sometimes. So basically the message today is you got to have faith, right? You got to have faith. Even in the kid that messes up in practice every single week, you got to have faith. So today, John 10:10, the Bible says that Christ came to give us life and life more abundant. More abundant. Now, when I talk about having an abundant life, I do not mean necessarily that we're all going to be riding around in Mercedes-Benz and we're all going to live in mansions and we're all going to have $100 bills stuffed in our socks, right? Like, that's not what I'm talking about material blessing, although I do believe that God wants to bless you. I truly believe that. But I don't believe that that is the kind of life that Jesus came and died on the cross for, is just so you could have more stuff. To me, that's not the kind of life I would sacrifice myself for. I think he came and died so that we could have an abundant spiritual life, an abundant life on earth where we are productive, where we're doing good, where we're changing the world around us. Now, if we get blessed in the meantime financially or materially, that's great. That's bonus. As the Cajuns say, that's lagniappe, a little bit extra. But that's not the point, right? So today we're going to be talking about how to have that life more abundant, and we're going to do it by faith. I wanted to talk about, this week I really wanted to share this thought on you know, really practical, you know, how to operate at work. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. It says a man that's skilled at all he does, a man that's diligent in his work will sit before kings. And I wanted to say that kind of stuff today to you, and it would be a good practical message. But then the word I shared earlier during worship that I got last week really kind of spurred me on to a different thought, and that is this idea on faith that I think sometimes we are very strong at understanding the practical, and sometimes we forget that there is a spiritual side that even though some of us have been Christians for a long, long time, we don't always get. Sometimes if I went through right now and I asked every single person in this room, what is faith? I bet a majority of us would not have a good answer. If I really asked you, what is faith and what level is your faith? Do you have, I mean, a lot of times we would really struggle with that because sometimes we use these words and these themes in Christianity that we don't really always comprehend. So today I want to try and make faith something that we can kind of grab onto. And the Bible says this in Habakkuk 2:4. He's talking about a proud person. The first part is, it says, behold, for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But look at the second part of the verse. It says, but the righteous will live by faith. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, that same verse is quoted three different times in the New Testament. Hebrews 10:38, the righteous will live by faith. Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, guess what it says? The righteous shall live by faith. Now, in different areas in the New Testament, the emphasis is placed on three different words. Sometimes the emphasis is on the righteous or the just. Sometimes the emphasis is on the live, and sometimes it's on faith. For a second, I want to put the emphasis on the word live since we're talking about life and a better life. And that word live there, whenever I looked it up, in all of these verses, the word live there doesn't just mean to survive. It doesn't just mean to breathe air in and out and be awake. The word live there means to experience God's gift of life, to enjoy real life, to have true life and be worthy of the name of Christ. It means to be active and to be blessed. That sounds abundant to me. That's the kind of life I want. I want to experience everything that God has for me. And I can only do that by faith. I can only do that by faith. So today I want to talk about a couple of things. And that is, number one, what is faith? Like, what is faith? How do I get it? How do I use it? Right? And so today, starting off, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance, some versions say the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that sounds really good. And just leave that up there. No, put it back. Come on, Kim. Golly. She sits out a week or two, and then she thinks she can run the place. So I want you to look at this real quick. It says the assurance right there. Actually, I don't even know why I told you to do ESV, because I don't even like assurance. Assurance is a word we don't use very often. Most of you probably thought it said insurance at first anyway when I was reading it. Assurance, the Bible also says substance or confidence. So if you're taking notes this morning, write down substance and confidence. But then it says the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Let me just pause on that part for a second. Whenever it's saying things not seen, in other words, it's saying that I have the conviction, I have the confidence, I have the belief in something that I can't see, but I'm believing and I'm hoping and I'm relying on the fact that it is real. So there's some of you, I mean, we can't see Jesus, but we believe in Christ. I can't see forgiveness happening when I sin. Matter of fact, I don't even, a lot of times, believe it can happen because I look at my sin and my life and I think, why would God ever forgive me or love me? I can't see His love, but I believe that He loves me, right? So it's believing, it's the evidence. And sometimes I find that evidence throughout my life of those things, even though I can't see them, doesn't mean they're not true. You can't see the wind, right? But you know it's there. Why? Because I see the evidence of the wind. So I can't see God's love, but I see the evidence of God's love, right? I may not can always understand it, but I believe in it. But let's look at those two words I told you to write down, substance and confidence. And the word substance there means something that it's created out of, right? So if I were to tell you what is the substance of this little podium thing right here, well, we would say wood on top and then metal on the bottom, right? That's what it's created out of. And that verse, when that verse says that faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for, what it's saying here is that it is the substance, it is what my hope is built out of. That thing I'm hoping for, that promise that God gave me, the promise of salvation, the promise of healing, the promise of my family member getting saved, the promise of whatever it is, the dream that God put in my heart, that thing that God gave me or told me about is created with faith. Without faith, it does not exist. It's created. It is sustained by faith. The other thing it says there is it says, another version says the word confidence. And it's funny, when I was doing my study and they said, I was reading different commentators, different people, and how they viewed this verse. And they said this, basically, they said, you can use these words interchangeably, although it doesn't change the message of the verse. They said, looking at the words, you can kind of give it a different angle of how you look at it. And so the word substance, like I said, it's what it's created of. But the word confidence I like, because the word confidence means that I act upon it, right? So in other words, it's not just that I'm hoping for something, it's that I'm acting upon that hope. In other words, my life changes in regards to what I'm hoping for. Think about it for a second. If you have no hope, then your life will be different than if you have hope. Right? You will live your life. Let's just think practical. Stop being spiritual for a minute. You will live your life differently. If I told everyone in this room today, if I told somebody, if I said, look, you know what? At the end of the day today, by 7 o'clock, you're going to be dead. Like, you will die at 7 o'clock. You have no hope. There's no way that I can help you. There's no way you're going to be healed. There's no way you're going to be rescued. You will die at 7 o'clock. All of a sudden, what happens? Your lifestyle for the next few hours will radically change. For some of you, you will go out and you will do all kinds of crazy mess. And especially if I told you, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no consequence for what you do, there is nothing after 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, there's nothing. You go to sleep and you never wake up. Man, there's some of y'all, you'd be like, I'm doing everything I always wanted to do, but my daddy said I couldn't, right? You'd go crazy. Why? Because there's no hope. But if I told you, listen, with all confidence, I know for a fact, like God showed up in a vision, heaven split open, and Jesus walked down himself and told me that everybody in this room was going to die at 7 o'clock and they will go to heaven. All of a sudden, your life would change again, and you would just go out. Man, you'd be witnessing to every single person you could find. You'd be telling everybody about Jesus. You'd be calling up relatives you hadn't talked to in years and telling them about Jesus. You would find people on the street, and you would tell them, if I told you the world was ending at 7, your life would change. Why? Because there's a difference in having hope and not having hope. When you have no hope, your life has no value. But when all of a sudden you have hope, you have that confidence. That's what faith is. It gives me the confidence to act upon that hope. So today we need to have that kind of confidence, that kind of hope. That's what faith is. So what if you can't see it? So what if you can't smell it, you can't taste it? It doesn't mean it's not there. And I'm going to tell you today, this message may not be for you as much as it's for me. Because there's times when it's hard for me to look into nothing and see something. There's times when it's difficult for me to look a year down the road, 2 years down the road. Some days it's hard for me to look into tomorrow and see something when there's nothing there. But that's where I have to have faith. That's what separates us from others, is faith. The other thing faith is, so faith is substance, it's confidence, but it's also foundation. Look in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. We don't talk about Jude that much, but I like Jude. I like Jude because he writes really short books that are easy to read. I should say he writes really short book because he only wrote one. If you ever say, I want to read a book of the Bible, read Jude. It's easy and it's a confidence builder. So Jude 1:20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. Now, I know that doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't, because you need the rest of the sentence. But we're going to just stop right here, because really the part I want to look at is right there where it says building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Two things I want to say about that. One is that word in right there, it's kind of a misnomer. You shouldn't really have the word in there, because whenever it's translated out, you think in English, it looks like I build myself up in faith, like inside of faith. But really, if you translate it the right way, it's translated out to be on. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. In other words, you already have faith. it becomes a foundation for everything else that we do. Remember we said confidence? Confidence is that foundation. So once I have that confidence, I can do stuff, right? I can act a certain way. I can be a certain way. Why? Because I have that confidence, and it's a foundation for me that I build my life upon. And what Paul says here, or I mean Jude says here, is he says you have to build yourself up on your most holy faith. And some of y'all say, I ain't got much faith. Only been a Christian a short time. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. It matters the fact that you have faith, period. And then you build upon it, right? You build upon your faith. The other thing I want you to notice there is the word yourselves. Uh-oh. We don't often like to hear the word yourself in the Bible because that puts responsibility back on us, right? Build yourselves up. So often we rely on someone else to build our faith for us. Pastor, if I could just get a word, if I could just come down and let you lay hands on me and pray for me, then all of a sudden, no, that's not right. You should build yourself up in your most holy faith. I should be the one that confirms. I should be the one that helps, right? Have you ever heard of a protein drink? Anybody drink protein drinks? Some of y'all drink protein drinks. Protein drinks are good because protein is good for building muscle. It's good for losing weight, good for gaining weight. Protein is a good thing to have in your body, right? And so the thing about protein drinks is this, is protein drinks should be a supplement to your diet. What some people do is they knock out protein drinks like it's water, right? And they're just drinking protein. My boy Wes takes it around in a mason jar and shakes it up. I don't even know how he does it, but he does it. Like most folks are out buying like special mugs and drink bottle things. Not Wes. Mason jar and some powder. He shakes that bad boy up. During the middle of a softball game, he drank a protein shake in the middle of a softball game. I thought, Wes, if I did that, I would puke my guts out. He went out there and hit the ball to the fence. So maybe I need to start drinking protein shakes during the middle of softball games. You got these protein shakes. The problem is, though, is people don't use them the correct way, and it can become a detriment to your diet. If you rely on the supplements, then it will backfire on you. You must rely on the nutrition that you get for yourself from the food that you eat and use the supplements to help out. Same way in church, same way in Christianity. You have to build your own faith. You have to feed yourself, and you show up on Sundays, and then I supplement what you may have missed during the week. But what we do is we come in here and we just expect to survive on a bunch of vitamins and protein shakes. And then you wonder why spiritually you're messed up. You wonder why you can't make it during the week. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Just kidding. I don't even know if I'm good to start with. So how do I build myself up in my most holy faith, Pastor? Here's how you do it. Number one, you got to hear the word and act on the word. Hear it and act on it. Now, the Bible says this in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The idea here is this, that faith comes to us, faith is built up in us through the word of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hear this part, we read this part where it says faith comes by hearing, and so therefore we assume that that means just by showing up at church and listening to the pastor talk. Can I tell you something? In the old days, not everybody could read. Now, we're a lot smarter now. Most of us can read nowadays, right? I mean, that's kind of, we can get by on some of it. And if you can't read, we even have apps that will read the Bible to you. Like, it's easy. But back in those days, they couldn't read, and so a lot of them could only rely on showing up at church and having someone read the word to them. But nowadays, we don't have that. So whenever we read this verse, it shouldn't just be the thought of hearing. It should be the thought of consuming the Word of God. And that Word of God is the Word of Jesus Christ. So faith comes from us consuming the Word of God. Whether that's through reading, whether that's through listening, it doesn't matter. We need the Word of God in us. And I want to challenge you during these 21 days of fasting that we started today. If you already messed up, don't worry. You got tomorrow. There's mercy and forgiveness. It starts today, 21 days of prayer and fasting. And one of mine is this. This is one of my prayer, one of my fastings. Is I decided that, hey, every morning when I wake up, I get up at 3 and I start fixing lunches for the day, right? Now usually at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not awake yet, right? My body's up and moving. My brain isn't up yet, you know? So, like, I'm making lunches and I'm kind of zoned out. And one of the things I noticed is I was very quick to, like, the first thing I did when I wake up, go in, and we've got this cool thing. Since we don't have cable, we've got this Roku, and the Roku can stream internet stuff, right? And so I can put earphones in my little Roku remote, and I can watch TV or listen to it, too, and not disturb anybody. So I think this is awesome. So I throw in my Roku, and I'm listening to, like, sports. I'm watching sports stuff in the morning. And God told me or showed me during these 21 days that is a time when I will listen to the Word of God. Also on Roku, I can watch sermons from other churches. I can watch sermons during that time. Because during that hour from 3 to 4, when I'm fixing lunches and doing stuff, getting stuff ready for the day, I've got to make sure that I'm consuming more of His Word. Why? Because I need more faith. I need my faith built up. I'm not where I need to be to make it through what I've got to make it through. And so I've got to consume more of His Word. And I want to challenge you to do the same. Set something aside and consume more Word. The other thing, when it comes to building up your faith, 2 Thessalonians is an example. It's not the rule. It's just an example. Well, 1:3 says, "We ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more." That's what we want. And it says, "And the love you have for one another is increasing." And I'm going to share more about love for one another next week when I talk about I want a better church. But one of the things I notice in this is quite often whenever the Bible talks about faith increasing, it also talks about love increasing. And so what I started noticing is a pattern of faith and love, faith and love. And so I started thinking, wow, maybe one of the things that helps us increase our faith is not just the Word, but also in how we love other people. And as we love others, our faith increases. And as we despise others, our faith decreases. And something you'll notice is your faith, even in your fellow man, is dependent on how much you love people. The most cynical people in the room will always be the most prejudiced or racist or biased people in the room. But the most loving people in the room will almost always be the most faith-filled people in the room. And so we want to make sure that we're loving other people. And then the last thing that we need to have in order to grow in our faith is just a healthy trust in God. And I want to read Romans chapter 4. There's a story in the Old Testament. If you're doing the lifejournal.cc, which is what I do, what I read in the mornings, lifejournal.cc is taking us through the story of Abraham right now. And actually, Abraham's dead, so it's taking us through Isaac. Pearl Abe, man, he kicked the bucket. And so Abe's life is like this. Abe was really old and never had a kid. And in those days, that's not a good thing. He wanted a kid, desired to have a kid. And he's trying to do everything God wants him to do, but he just cannot have a kid. His wife won't have a kid. And so God shows up one day, and the Bible says God shows him the stars and says, "Your descendants will be as the stars. Your descendants will be as the sand on the seashore. You're going to have a lot of kids." And Abraham just says, "Okay, let's do it." You know, like he's all in. And the Bible says that his faith, his belief, was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, God looked at him and said, "Despite all the other junk you got going on in your life, I'm calling you righteous." Why? Because you got some faith. You believe me when I just said one thing. You didn't backtalk me. You didn't argue with me. You didn't laugh at me. You believed. And so God counted it to him as righteousness. So the story goes on that Abraham is 100 years old, and his wife is pretty old too, and God promises them to have a kid. The Bible says that his wife laughed. His wife even tried to take matters into her own hands and said, "There's no way God can make me have a baby. So therefore, I'm going to give you my servant and let you produce a child with her." And it happened. And God said, "That's not the way I wanted it to happen. I said, you're going to have a baby and you will have a baby. Stop taking matters into your own hands. We're going to make this work." She laughed at God. and then lied to God, said she didn't laugh at him. It's a really cool story. So let's read Romans 4. They ended up having the baby. Romans 4, this is verse 19 through 22. This is Paul recounting the story of Abraham. And he said that he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Which I think is hilarious. Paul is just busting on old people. If you're old today, then you need to be mad at Paul, because he just said, his body's as good as dead. If you're pushing 100 today, Paul says you're as good as dead. Not me, I think you're great if you're pushing 100. It says, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced, remember that word convinced? Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. A couple of things you need to know is that he trusted God despite his circumstances, despite a body that was as good as dead. He trusted God. He didn't look at his circumstances and let them dictate what God was going to do. He looked at God and let God dictate what God was going to do. And he said, I don't care about my body. God can do it. He also trusted that God was fully able to fulfill everything. In other words, sometimes we look at God and God tells us something and we first look at our circumstances and say, there's no way you can do that. And then we look at God and although we don't understand God because we can't see God, and this is where our faith is lacking sometimes, we say, God, you're not able to do this thing that you're saying you're going to do. We're not convinced of his power. But Abraham was convinced, not only despite his circumstances, but also fully of his power. And then I love this part where it said that he gave glory to God. In his faith, he gave glory to God. You know, I think sometimes what God's waiting for is somebody just to praise him, just to give him glory, even though they haven't seen the promise yet. I think sometimes when we come to church and when we show up at our house and it's time to pray and it's time to seek God, I think sometimes God's just waiting on somebody to start thanking him and praising him and saying, God, I appreciate all that you've done for me. Even though I haven't seen the promise yet, even though I haven't had the baby yet, I still praise you and I give you glory and I believe in you and I have faith in you that you're going to do this. Instead of sitting around and whining and moaning and complaining about what God hasn't done, we need to start praising him for even what he hasn't done yet, but what he's going to do. And I believe as we do that, our faith increases. Let me close this out with one last story, because I want to show you how faith works. So we talked about what faith is. We talked about how to build our faith up. But now let's see a little bit more practical view of how faith works with some people that were really struggling in their faith. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And this is Jesus and his disciples, and they're getting on a boat, and something bad happens. So let's look at this real quick. It says, verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. Verse 24. And they came to him, talking about Jesus, and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. One version says, one of the gospel writers said, that they even said, don't you care about us? It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? My question to you and I today is, where is our faith? Let me show you a couple places our faith should have been. Those guys' faith must have been in the boat. Right? Their faith must have been in the boat because they saw the storm coming, they saw the boat taking on water, and when the boat began to sink, they lost all faith completely. So their faith must have been in something else besides Jesus. Their faith must have been in the wrong thing. And I think sometimes we look at our life and we start putting our faith in the things around us. We start putting our faith in the vehicle that's carrying us, not literally but figuratively. Maybe our faith ends up in our job, right? Our faith ends up in our home. Our faith ends up in something. And then all of a sudden, when a storm comes and begins to shake that thing and it begins to take on water, when the economy crashes and our job isn't as secure as we thought it was, now all of a sudden our faith begins to crumble. Why? Because our faith is in the wrong thing. Where should their faith have been? Well, a couple of places their faith should have been. Number one, their faith should have been in the promise. Verse 22 says, let us go to the other side. Do you think Jesus would have commanded them to go to the other side if he didn't fully expect to get there? Right? They should have looked at the wind and the waves. They should have looked at the water and they said, you know what, boys? We may be sinking, but he said we're going to the other side, and by God, we're going to the other side. I don't know how we're going to make it. Where the boat may bust apart, we may all float over there on pieces of wood, but we are going to get to the other side because he said we would get to the other side. I don't know what God has told you, but whatever it is he's told you, he will fulfill that thing in your life. I don't know how you're going to get there. Yeah, but Pastor, what if my ship breaks apart? I don't know. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I know this, whatever God tells you he's going to do, God is going to do in your life. Pastor, what if God tells me I'm going to be healed and then I die? Well, first of all, you won't be here to talk about it, right? You'll be in heaven and you'll be completely healed. I always like using that one. The second place their faith should have been is their faith should have been in the presence of Jesus on the boat. Think about it. Do you really think if they believe that he is the Messiah and he over and over tells them, I'm going to be raised up. In other words, he told them, I'm going to be hung up on a tree. Do you think he's really going to drown in the middle of the ocean with no one there? No. They should have said, look, we may be busting apart here. The winds are heavy. The water's coming in. But we've got Jesus. So somehow we're going to make it. He gave us a promise. And he's here with us, so we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. God will not kill Jesus in the middle of a lake. He'll kill him some other way, but not like this. And then the third thing they should have been is they should have had faith in his ability. They go down, they start screaming at Jesus, don't you care? Get up, we're dying. And then the Bible, I didn't use this part of the verse, but after that it says that they were amazed and afraid and shocked that Jesus had the ability to calm the storm. They should have had faith in his ability to start with. They should have had faith in his ability to start with. So in other words, all it should have taken was walking up to Jesus and saying, hey man, we got some problems outside. We know you got the power to stop it. So if you don't mind, we're scared. Can you take over? You know what I mean? Like, it should not have been screaming and yelling and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they should have belief and faith in his power, just like Abraham did. So my last thing I want to say, and then Pastor Shane will be coming up, and we're going to sing a song and do something. I don't know, pray something. And this is where I live sometimes. Is, Pastor, that's good, but what if my boat does sink? That's good, but what if my boat does sink? What if God told me I was going to have this job, and now that job is gone? Now what? What if God told me something was going to happen and then that dream that I had is now dead? Now what? Now where's my faith? I'm glad we're all asking that question. Because the Bible tells the story of Jesus, one of his best friends named Lazarus. And the story goes like this. In John chapter 11, the Bible says that Jesus got word that his friend Lazarus was sick unto death. In other words, he's about to die. And the Bible says that Jesus, the all-loving, all-compassionate Christ, hangs out for 4 more days. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone called me and Pastor Shane's my good friend, and if something happened and Pastor Shane was put into the hospital and they said, hey, Shane's about to die. Like, I would leave work, I would leave home, I would rush to the hospital, right? Because if he's about to die, I want to go be there, pray with him to you know, so that would be the last beautiful face he sees. Not his wife, like I'd push her out of the way. I'm like, look at me. No, I'm just kidding. It's like looking at Jesus. Just get ready. I'm hoping he's bald. I am. just for all of y'all that have hair. I'm jealous. So Jesus doesn't do that. What does Jesus do? He stays for 4 more days in the city he's in. And I just think, man, why would you do that? That's a bad friend, you know? Your friend's dying, you don't even go see him? So he shows up, and when he shows up, duh, it's too late. Lazarus is dead. Not only is he dead, he's been dead. The Bible said he was in the grave and he stinketh, right? Stinketh is bad. Smells real bad. And Jesus gets there and everybody's crying and they're yelling and they're mad and they're sad and their faith is just broken. The promise is dead. And that's where some of us live today. Some of us, we feel like the promise is dying and Jesus is sitting somewhere for 4 days letting it die. And we're like, Jesus, come on, man, I need you here. I'm dying here without you. I need you to show up in my life. Where are you? And then the promise dies, and then we're stuck, and we're saying, I have no faith now. But here's what Jesus says. In John 11:25, he said to her, talking about the sister, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me or has faith in me will live even though they die. Can I just tell you this morning in closing, even if the promise dies, my faith is in Him that He can resurrect the dead. Even if the dream looks like it's over, even if the job is gone that we thought that was God's gift for me, He can resurrect the dead. He can resurrect the dream. He can do something absolutely better than what we could ask or think, the Bible says. And there may be some of you today, you're saying, you know what, I just feel like, man, I feel like everything's crashing and I need that faith. If that's you this morning, I'm there with you. I need faith a lot of times in my life. I tell people all the time, I come to prayer on Wednesday nights not to have something to do, but because I need it. I need it. So today I want to pray with you. There may be some of you today, you're struggling in your faith. You're struggling and you're dealing with some stuff. You're dealing with some storms today. And you're like the disciples. You're screaming and you're yelling and you're begging God. And really, we need to be like Jesus. You know why Jesus was asleep? It wasn't because he was just tired. I think Jesus was asleep because he already had peace on the inside and all he had to do was release it to the outside. Why did he have peace? Because he had faith. He had faith that God was going to protect all that he said he would do. Why don't you bow your heads with me this morning? Close your eyes.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.